The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, we are the gift that keeps on giving, not because we give you both a delicate balance of sports and entertainment, but also because whenever we get the chance, we like to reward you, the listeners, for doing your best to listen to our show. You absolutely persevered through the big baseball game yesterday to make sure that you let us know that you were listening. We appreciate that. And because of it, Barry was giving away tickets to his big show on Wednesday night where he's the headliner. Well, the gift keeps on giving because Barry's going to do it again. So without further ado, I turn it over to my partner who's going to let you know what you have to do and what caller you have to be in order to take home the tickets.
Yeah, man, I'm pretty pumped about this. It's for me, it's a pretty cool deal to be able to have a night at the Improv with my name on the billing and all that. So, yeah, any support, if you guys come out, if you don't win tickets, you want to come out, it's cool. You can go to the Houston Improv website and buy tickets. And if you use promo code Barry, they're like $8. So it's pretty cheap. Good date night. We're going to have fun. Andy Huggins is going to be there.
Yeah.
Legend, came up with Bill Hicks and Sam Kinison, the original Texas Outlaw comic. Super funny dude. Been on the show before.
Yes, he has.
Jermaine Warren, Owen Dunn, all guys that have been kind of day ones with me since I started comedy, or helped me in the case of Andy Huggins, who was a mentor of mine and friend. So it's going to be a good time. We'll make it easy this time. At 3:30, I'll give away two more tickets, and we'll make it more fair for the folks listening on the app. But for now, if you're caller number 5-713-780-3776, you'll win two tickets to the show. It's tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Doors open at 7. And if you're not going to go, don't call to win the tickets. Because keeping track of who shows up. They'll tell me if you show up or not. But yeah, I want to have butts in seats. I want to have a good showing. I want to fill up that front area of the Improv. So if you can come out, I would appreciate it.
I see Joel on Twitter.
Okay.
Already had got his receipt that he already had purchased tickets. So way to go, Joel.
Better call Joel in the house. Yeah, man. Already down. Got the first couple of suspects with tickets. So Trey said he's going. Dude, Trey said he's going to be there.
No way.
Yeah.
And you're making him pay for tickets?
I thought about giving him a comp, but I don't really have that many. I'm giving all my comps to the listeners. That's why I'm saying it's going to piss me off if you guys win and don't show up. I'm going to be so angry because I'm like, I only get so many like free tickets. And
should start a GoFundMe and raise money for Trey to get tickets to the show.
Like, I would normally give them to my family, you know what I mean? Or friends or like, you know, anybody. Like, if you were like, hey, I want to bring Lisa, I would give you some tickets, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this time I was like, well, I'm going to give them to the listeners. I'll do that instead. So, yeah, if you guys don't come, I'm going to say mean things about you on Twitter.
Well, you know what I just remembered?
What?
Yesterday,
yeah,
when we got the winners,
uh-huh,
did I give you the sheet that had them? The
yeah,
names
I took
on
it from you.
Okay.
Good. Yeah.
I don't remember giving it to you.
No, we're
so
good.
I asked
Green Mile where they were, and he pointed me in your studio there, so I came and got it from you.
All right, cool.
Thanks, yep. Nick. Thanks, Nick, for keeping it like Nick would do it. We appreciate that. At the same time, Tyler, I think Barry could scrounge up too, so you could go with Trey. Wouldn't you enjoy that?
Oh.
As much as I want to see Barry.
You wouldn't sit next to
him. Yeah.
You just wouldn't do it, huh?
Hard pass.
Well, huh?
Tyler, I would tell that joke in the bullpen and see if it would fly first next time if I was Barry.
Okay, so I'm in the last break. I left to go to the bathroom. Yes. On the way out, I hear Trey say, yeah, I once convinced a kid that his parents were going to get a divorce. Who does that?
Really?
Who does what? Who tries to convince a kid that their parents are going to get divorced? Or who falls for something so stupid from somebody like Trey?
Exactly.
Okay.
Both. Yes.
Because, if I have some guy on the other end of the line be like, yeah, kid, your parents hate you, I'm not falling for that. I'm like, yeah, your parents probably...
Your parents are going to get a divorce.
That's brutal.
That's the same kid that goes to an after-school program and goes, hey, guys, just want to let you know there's no Santa Claus, no presents for you. Sucks, I know. You wrecked me. And he walks out. Come on, man.
Yeah, I think Trey would be good for talking mess. I think I heard part of the conversation because I think it was while he was playing video games online.
Oh, at least he's really taking his internship seriously.
Nothing like picking on a 12-year-old on the internet. You know, good for you, Trey. Whatever makes you feel more like a man.
He's also not a good listener because you said the Improv the Marquee Center.
Houston Improv, yeah. 8 o'clock, he's Marquee good. Center.
Not good with direction.
He just came in there. He was confused. So, but wait a minute.
Where is it? Is it here?
When you were talking about the 12-year-olds
yes.
and talking smack,
yes.
So you know the people that are taking advantage of Trey?
Yeah.
Just simply from a mentality standpoint.
You
I'm
know,
just asking the question.
Sometimes when he says stuff like that, I feel like it actually happened to him, but he doesn't want to admit it. So he says he did it instead. But I could totally see Trey be like, yeah. Oh my God, my parents are getting divorced. And then like, okay, now everyone makes fun of him. So he tells the story differently. And he says he's the one that did it. Don't give me the finger, Trey. He walked in here. He's going to give me the finger.
Now he just threw both hands up in the air and he's disgusted.
I don't know. I'm going home.
Good luck reading this email.
I know. Trey writes it with his foot. I swear to God. It's the worst handwriting.
I've seen it. It makes chicken scratch look legible.
It makes Michael J. Fox look like Van Gogh. It's bad. That was probably a mean joke, but Trey, I feel bad. Can we get him to type it and print it out next time?
No, dude, then he'd have to pause the video game.
Yeah, apparently so.
He can't do that and pause the video game. All right, we still got plenty more to get to. There's a new sheriff in town, the owner of the Rockets, Tillman Fertitta, introduced today. Oh, by the way, in case you missed it, because most of you did, including myself, the Rockets won at Madison Square Garden last night. They again went over 20 threes in a game, so they look like they're already kind of trying to reach for regular season form. Harden had 30-plus points. The Knicks are just bad. But we've got plenty more to get to. We can talk about the Rockets, Tillman, and all that. If that's something that's on your mind you want to discuss, give us a call. 713-780-3776. Talking to Kevin McHale right now about joining the show possibly tomorrow to get into that whole clown thing with James Harden. So we'll get him on to talk about that and more. But lots to get to on the agenda regardless. And if you want to be a part of the show, we'd love to have you. Back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To the park, storm the gates, and put the game on hold. The rulers gave the other team a dreadful fright. Boston.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Where it began, I can't begin to know.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Just let that go. Touching hands.
Touching hands.
Reaching out.
Reaching out.
Touching me. What? What?
Touching me. Touching you. Sweet Caroline.
You go home.
I was waiting to see if any of you guys were going to do the bum, bum, bum. Because it's almost like the clap in the Deep of the Heart of Texas. Deep in the Heart of Texas.
Yep.
It's almost like, if you're from Texas, you have to clap. John Wessling does a beautiful joke about that, by the way.
Hank Williams, family. Get stoned, get stoned.
Yep.
Where does Roxanne by the Police, where everybody gets it completely wrong when the music starts?
I don't know.
Everybody does the first Roxanne, they always miss the cue.
No, you know which one? I saw this too. And it was, I don't know if it was a meme or what, but somebody was talking about the ending of a Dr. Dre song where it plays and then it stops at the very end and he says smoke weed every day.
Oh yeah, Nate
that's
Dogg.
And
yeah,
no one gets it because you like the timing on it. It's like everyone is either too soon or too late. Like some guy was like, man, that's my whole goal in life is just to nail that after the pause in the music there. People always screw it up, but because of that song, because you played it, it reminded me
that the Red Sox suck.
Yeah, that the Red Sox suck. But did you notice they were playing that song in that Hyundai? Was it a Hyundai commercial?
Yeah, where the two cars are next to each other and they end up singing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You think whoever made that commercial was a Red Sox fan?
It's possible.
Oh, I'm sure.
Bunch of a-holes. That makes me sick. It's like, really?
And both of those
How
cars...
How come he couldn't have been driving around singing All Systems Go?
But both of
What's
those
up
cars
with that?
Were Red Sox colors.
Blue and red.
Blue and
yeah,
red. Yeah,
exactly. Which, now what are you going to do, Hyundai?
Conspiracy.
Yeah, now what are you going to do, Hyundai? Because they're gone.
Man, I couldn't even tell you what you're going to do for Cleveland.
Kiss those ad dollars goodbye.
Mm. Do what?
Kiss those ad dollars goodbye.
By the way, somebody tweeted to me. I wish I could give them credit. Who was it? Jay. Jeremy Morgan 92 on Twitter tweeted all of us. And it's some dude looking over the shoulder of another guy in class as he watches the Red Sox lose.
I saw that.
And this kid is so distraught. It was beautiful.
Yeah, he slammed shut his laptop and got all upset. Yeah, that was fantastic. If you haven't noticed, our theme is playing Boston kind of themed tunes as if to say, you're number one in our book, but not using the pointer finger. And see you next year. As we've sent them packing the dropkick Murphys.
So was it the Traveling Wilburys?
No. Yesterday we were trying to think of the name of the group, and Barry threw out Traveling Wilburys instead of Dropkick Murphys.
I couldn't remember the damn name, and for some reason in my mind those seem like similar to me, but they're totally not. But yeah, they were asking about that song that OU Mike said it made him want to river dance.
Yeah.
But for
Iowa
some
State
reason
Mike.
Iowa State Mike.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Iowa State Mike. Yeah, I don't know why I said it was Traveling Wilburys.
I was like, and it sounds like Tom Petty if they had a lead singer. In that song,
and the what's the intern's name? The broke Conor McGregor looking dude,
Jeff.
Broke Conor McGregor, it's so good. People have never seen him, but that's so good.
Yeah, and then he started making fun of me. I was like, "Hey, settle down, bub. I got one thing. I got one song wrong. All right, my bad."
Well, but the fact that he said that doesn't even sound like Tom Petty. Well, guess what? Yeah. There's no vocals in that song.
He got angry and said I disrespected Tom Petty. I was like, I didn't disrespect the man. I just had no idea.
And by the way, as I always say, Neil Diamond, the first American white rap star. He never sings. He
just stop it.
He just talks lyrics.
Nope.
If you think about it, he's never cranking out any long notes or anything. It's just where it began. It's like William Shatner. He's just reading the lyrics. It's exactly what it is.
But he's more crooning than rap.
Yeah, a little bit.
But
right?
I mean, I get it. It's a fair comparison.
News of the day that we're going through. We already mentioned Tillman taking over the Rockets. Sam Bradford once again has a dinged up knee. Said he hurt it during the game. He'll be reevaluated. I'm good if he doesn't play this week.
How convenient after he played like doo-doo.
By the way, did you see of all people RG3 tweeting, get Sam Bradford out of the game. Take it from a guy who knows he's going to get hurt if he stays in.
I didn't see that,
I retweeted it, but I was like, bro, you need to probably stay in your lane and worry about your own situation, because I think your offensive linemen were letting guys tee off on you.
Right.
As I remember it. OBJ, as we mentioned yesterday, Odell Beckham Jr. out for the year. And the big news of the day, the Cardinals still looking for a replacement for David Johnson, who's on IR. Have given up on Chris Johnson. They cut him. The reason why they did that is they made a trade with the Giants for a conditional draft. With the Saints for a conditional draft pick. Adrian Peterson now going to Arizona.
Out of all of their kind of replacement running backs, I thought Chris Johnson was the one who was performing the best. Like, Kerwin Williams hasn't done anything.
No.
Andre Ellington is catching
their guy,
the ball.
But yeah, he's more he's of a receiver.
Yeah, he's their third down pass catcher guy, but the one guy who was arguably the best out of them, you let him go again.
It's weird because they cut him, then they brought him back when Johnson went to IR and immediately said he would be our number one guy, and he just hasn't panned out. But I was going to tweet this morning, and then I thought someone would probably jump on me for it, but I was like, AP just said to Emmitt Smith, is this heaven in Arizona? And he's like, no, this is where running backs go to die. Because that's what Emmitt Smith did. I mean,
look, it's weird because I feel like in cutting Chris Johnson, you cut Adrian Peterson in a way. Look at what they've done this year so far. I mean, Chris Johnson's averaging 2.5 yards a carry. By the numbers, he's put up more because he's had the most attempts at 45.
Right.
But he's averaging 2.5. Ellington's averaging 3.8, almost four yards a carry.
I thought Ellington was the guy.
Yeah, but so Johnson's average is pretty bad. Peterson this year is averaging 3 yards a carry. So not much better than what Johnson was doing. And certainly not his almost 5 yards a carry average for his career. I mean, last year was bad, but he only played in the three games. But he's played in the four games. He's had 27 rushes for 81 yards. It's a guy that's a vet that you know is a year or so removed from a decent season in 2015. But I don't think you're ever going to get the same Adrian Peterson again, just like you weren't going to get the same Chris Johnson.
That's what I'm saying. You know, Chris Johnson went there, and he's failed miserably. Emmett Smith went there at the end of his career and failed on the downside. AP, if he's expecting, like, much better, the offensive line of the Cardinals ain't a whole lot better than the Saints.
No.
And he did not look very explosive when he was with the Saints. So we'll see if that desert air can infuse a little energy into Adrian Peterson. I'm not anticipating big numbers, although I know fantasy football guys are just all over Geek trying to pick him up. We'll see. I guess the Saints are going to receive a conditional sixth round pick in next year's draft from the Cardinals.
That tells you the kind of value that Adrian Peterson Indeed. Has. If all he can get on the market is a conditional sixth round pick.
Yep.
Ugh.
Arizona last in the NFL, by the way, in rushing yards per game, 51.8. And yards per carry, 2.59.
Mm.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I got a receiver in the backfield in Green Bay that's doing better than that. So that's awful, man.
Yeah, not good. Not good. And I don't really think this makes them that much better. I mean, I guess you got to do something. You know what I mean? It's almost like, and we've had some texts about this too, and even some tweets, but what do you do about the Dwayne Brown situation here in Houston? Do you trade him for a draft pick? Do you try to get something for him? What can you get for him? You had told me.
You brought it up. Yeah. I found a tweet from, I think it was Adam Schefter, was reporting yesterday that there have been discussions between the Seahawks and the Texans about Dwayne Brown, and that to push the value of Dwayne Brown down, the Seahawks were bringing in other offensive linemen and trying them out just to try and scare the Texans into making a quick deal. But it sounds like Dwayne Brown, if he's going to play this year, is going to play somewhere else, and that they're not going to give in or cave on their stance that they're not going to renegotiate.
Yeah, and apparently if he's going to get credit for the year, it's got to be before the, this week six?
Yeah.
I believe so. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum about how this team doesn't have a pick until the third round, Houston Texans being.
Right.
If you could get something, but I don't think you're getting a one or a two from Seattle. I just don't think they're doing that. Would you, if you had a chance, if there was a Dwayne Brown-esque lineman out there and you're the Texans, you might trade a third round pick.
Yeah.
Because you're desperate for help. Seattle is desperate for some help mm-hmm. on that offensive line. But I don't think you're getting a one or a two.
Here's what I'd say. If you're playing your cards correctly and with everything you just said, you go from a position of strength and you go low because you know they have to unload him by a certain time. He wants to be unloaded by a certain time so that he doesn't lose that year of service. And there's really not a whole lot of teams knocking down their door. So, hey, you already got an egg on your face, and this guy continues to sit as an all-pro offensive lineman. If you really want to clear this situation up quickly,
yep.
then make a deal that's going to work for me, too, and it should be a position of strength, as opposed to the Texans going, this is an all-pro offensive lineman. You should give us a one or a two. Your offensive line's terrible. You really need a good tackle. Guess what? No, we're in a much better position of strength than you are because there are other guys out there we can work out, or maybe you can even say, I've got a deal pending with someone else. Maybe he's not all pro caliber, but he's better than average, and we can get him for a three or a four.
Well, the good news is at least Seattle actually might cause some movement because right now it's a stalemate. You know what I mean? Dwayne Brown's like, hey, look, I got enough money to live on.
Yeah,
it's
a game of chicken.
And the Texans are like, well, you know what? We're still in the division without you.
Where was the Fox crew on Sunday?
Which Fox crew?
Tony Gonzalez and Jay Glazer.
I don't know why.
Because Sarah Barshop tweeted out, and clearly in the background of this picture, Tony Gonzalez is hanging out with Jay Glazer, NFL on Fox. And in the background, Dwayne Brown's just walking by, just chilling there.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, his wife, who was a radio DJ here, is working in L.A. now. So there's a good possibility that he was probably in L.A. hanging out. They said he's still working out. Travis Johnson said he has spoken to him several times and that he was definitely in good shape and working out. But, of course, working out shape is a lot different than mm-hmm. NFL game shape. You still got to get him tuned up. So we'll see how that situation goes. But as you mentioned in the break, man, injuries are starting to rack up for a lot of teams in the NFL. That's something to keep an eye on as you go forward. And then, of course, there's this. The never-ending saga of the anthem is now taking a turn as Roger Goodell wrote all 32 teams a letter today.
Oh, hell.
In which the NFL has developed a plan to move past its ongoing debate about player protests during the national anthem and could enact it next week. But he made it clear in the letter obtained by ESPN's Adam Schefter that he wants players to stand during the anthem.
Interesting.
That goes on top of Jerry Jones, who came out after the Packer game saying, if my guys don't stand, they better not intend to play because they're definitely going to be benched.
Oh, it's going to get ugly.
It's about to.
I really feel like if you start trying to draw that line in the sand and give guys an ultimatum, this comes down to one of those things where you can't tell me how to feel about social matters. You know what I mean? And that's what this is about.
Goodell said it include the letter and the program that they're going to put together in exchange for the players standing for the anthem includes such elements as an in-season platform to promote the work of our players on these core issues. I don't think that's going to get it done.
No.
So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But that's some of your news of the day in the NFL. When we come back, we'll get into the Rockets a little bit. Tillman Fertitta taking over with his first official day. Press conference was earlier this afternoon at Toyota Center. So that deal is done. He is excited. He is happy. Where do you stand on that? I think it should be a good thing, but we can talk about that and the fact that the Rockets' regular season is right around the corner. But Chris Paul and James Harden won't be appearing on his reality TV show anytime soon. We can also touch on that. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Tyler, still doing a great job filling in for our friend Nick as our thoughts and prayers and all that good stuff go out with Nick. As he takes care of some personal business, but Barry and I are here, continue to roll on. Man, in college, that song right there and that album, Boston, Boston, I think every dorm room in my dorm at some point during the day was jamming that album.
Yeah.
In the outfield, play deep.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Brings back some memories.
Okay, so your friendly neighborhood beer salesman brought up something on the text lines, because I have neglected the text today, and I apologize to all of you, and there's no way I can go back and get them all. Some of that's just not even relevant anymore. And it's my bad. I've let you down today, so just blame me. But your friendly neighborhood beer salesman said, if J.J. Watt is forced to retire, he goes, all right, second, I know you're going to tell me slow down, because, yeah, I'm going to. If J.J. Watt's forced to retire, is he Hall of Famer?
I had that conversation at home with my wife the other day.
Yeah?
And I said...
And what did you settle on?
I don't think so. Because I think it's the entire body of work. And when you look at it and you start looking at career sack leaders, that's the kind of things that they look at for the Lawrence Taylors of the world, the outside linebackers, the pass rushers, things like that. He had some phenomenal seasons, but it's a smaller body of work. Now, the only thing that I will say that as a caveat to all that is if you look at Gale Sayers... Or and if you want to get more specific, Jim Brown. But Gale Sayers forced to retire early after he had a smaller body of work, but really was at an elite level. And Gale Sayers got in. Barry Sanders, another guy, decided to walk away before he was even close to the downside of his career. His choice, but still making it in.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. Kelvin Johnson. There's another good example of a guy that had great years, but did he have enough of them because he walked away from the game early?
Yeah, it is one of those things where longevity has to matter. You can't just say, well, you know, if he would have played for 12, 14 years or whatever, then yeah, he would have had the numbers. Well, the fact of the matter is he didn't. You know what I mean? If he has to retire or whatever. So I don't know, man. It's such a tough thing. I mean, he's like, what, 70 or 71 on the sack list right now. I just don't know if that's good enough. There's no one around him on that list that is Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? Like, the lowest on the list is Howie Long at 51 with 84 sacks that I can see that made the Hall of Fame. No, my bad. Cortez Kennedy is down there, 121 with 58.
There's,
but you're talking about a guy that played for 10 years in Cortez Kennedy. You know what I mean? I just don't think he has enough years. It's not talent. It's not. It's certainly not talent.
No.
It's just longevity.
That's what I'm saying. The body of work and the overall body of work. Because, like, you know, again, I bring up Calvin Johnson because there's not anybody that was going to disagree when you put him in the top three, if not the top two, or maybe just the best receiver in football.
Yeah, while he was playing. Yeah.
But for a guy to walk away healthy, and again, that body of work is somewhat smaller now, and he's not going to have all those all-time numbers like a lot of these guys. And we know how pass-happy this league has become, where the stats for receiving and quarterback play have gone through the roof. When they look at it, that's one of the things that they look at for induction in the Hall of Fame. They're going to be like, yeah, but he was only like 156th in receptions or whatever it is going to be at the time. I'm not sure he gets in.
Well, I mean, there's a guy, different position, obviously, but Henry Thomas played defensive tackle.
Yeah.
And he had, I only know this because I've heard him say it day in and day out, 99 and a half sacks. And he played 14 years in the NFL, and he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And you could argue that he should be. And I think a lot of it has to do with, I think, politics and stuff like that. But at the same time, you still have to have the numbers to be able to kind of put yourself in a position to get into the Hall of Fame.
And now, admittedly, I'm going to bring up a guy that I have some personal bias towards, as you guys know, right? But you take a guy like Keenan McCardell when he retired, right? When he retired, before it went completely off the charts pass happy, believe it or not, top 10 all-time in receptions and yards. Yeah. Numbers were crazy.
He is definitely one of the more underrated wide receivers in the NFL, and I'm not saying that just before I ever met him and he did this show, I was a huge fan of his.
Yep.
And I always felt like he was underrated as far as just getting the credit and the accolades. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no question. But now, because you look at, and it started with the greatest show on turf, I think, when it really got blown out of the water. But now you're looking at guys that just went past crazy. And now you think Isaac Bruce, who we had on the show, was still hoping to get in.
Yep.
You know, because the people know that he played in such a pass-happy offense, they're even letting that skew their decision a little bit. But you look at Torrey Holt. You look at Isaac Bruce. Those guys are going to be those guys that blew the roof off the yards numbers. Marvin Harrison, because Peyton Manning, when he broke in, him and Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne's going to be a guy that's going to be close, but Reggie Wayne's going to get a lot of love because of the fact that his numbers are astronomical because of the time. And we talk about the steroid era in baseball, but you can talk very easily about the pass-happy time in football because that's what it's become.
Yeah. I mean, the game has changed. It's like the three-point shot in the NBA. I mean, it's a different kind of game completely. A couple more texts. So I think this one's kind of being petty, but whatever. Why celebrate an ALDS with champagne? I understand a playoff berth, division title, ALCS win, or even a World Series, but the ALDS win? Come on, man. Like, dude, didn't the Yankees celebrate when they won the wild card? The Astros celebrated when they won the wild card? Anytime you move on in the playoffs, I have no problem with it. I think it is kind of, like, weird, but whatever.
I'm with you on how it feels to me, but I also understand the other side of the equation when you talk to guys that have played the game that say, it's so hard to get to the position of just getting in or winning a series or moving on that you make sure that you stop and smell the roses before it's too late, and that's what they're doing with the champagne, so I'm not mad at them for it.
No.
Now, if they had a game tomorrow, I'd be mad at them for it because they're all going to be drunk off their ass.
Now, I don't know what this one means, and we can address it or not. I don't care. But the Blitz is willing to make a bet if the Astros win the World Series. What bet would y'all be willing to make if they win? Come on, y'all have to be homers. Make one. What does that mean? Did the Blitz say, if the Astros win the World Series, I'll shave my head or something like that?
I think it came, like, AJ was talking about how if the Astros win the World Series, then Fred has to wear a Speedo and a turtleneck and his hat.
Okay.
So I think
this guy's
trying to see y'all in Speedos, basically.
Oh, so this is just somebody wanting to see my sexy body. Okay.
Go watch Barry's comedy show. You'll be just use your imagination. Yeah. You'll be just fine. I guess we can kick that around, but I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that one. Okay, so we still got Rockets talk to get to, as well as a whole bunch more. We've got calls coming up, so Curtis, hang in there. We'll get to you, as well as, of course, more social media. So if you want to join us, at Pac-Man Joel, at Barry is Funny, at Producer T. Scott, if you want to hit us via Twitter, otherwise 713 800-770-3776 if you want to hit us on the text line and or the phone call line like Curtis is. Curtis is coming up next and a whole lot more. ESPN 975.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the boys are back. It's Tyler in for Nick, Barry, and Joel as we continue with The Usual Suspects. Information that you might find important coming out of the Texans today. They are working out Atlanta Falcons and Kansas City Chiefs defensive lineman Tyson Jackson. If you're not familiar, maybe you should be because you're down in the Southwest here. He is a product of LSU. He was the number 3 overall pick of the Kansas City Chiefs a few years ago. Cut by the Falcons after not recording a sack in 2 seasons on the heels of signing a 5-year $25 million contract for his career, 31 years old, 267 tackles, 9 sacks, 6'4", 296 pounds.
Sweet, so a draft bust.
He's a 3-4 style defensive end. Daryl Morey would call that a value trade right there. That guy has lottery pick potential. And also, the Texans worked out former Bears and Raiders outside linebacker Lamar Houston and former Buffalo Bills corner Marcus Sales. So they are kicking the tires on some veterans, trying to find some replacements for some guys lost for the year, for sure.
Yeah, none of those really make me feel good.
I don't mind Lamar Houston.
In my nether regions.
I'm a little less sold on a guy that has been a complete bust after being a number 3 overall pick. And Marcus Sales, it just depends. You know, Barry, what it really comes down to with defensive backs is his hips.
It really comes down to
how quickly and agile he can move his hips.
I'll never forget as long as I do radio that guy that losing call. His mind. Ugh.
So
right.
We'll see. But at least they're out there kicking the tires on some older guys to see if they can find replacements for Merciless
do
and Watt. I'm a little confused on, did we lose someone in the secondary I'm not aware of?
What?
The fact that they're kicking the tires on another guy in the secondary. Their main needs are going to be outside linebacker and defensive line.
Hal has been missing in action.
I thought Moore got hurt. Corey Moore.
Corey Moore got hurt?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did. But Hal hasn't really exactly been stellar either.
So now, Andre, how am I supposed to stay with the receiver when they're moving?
Man. That guy.
And Joseph looked pretty bad.
The entire secondary, let's be real.
Yeah.
But it goes back to what Barry said. When they didn't find any fall-off potential, when they lost both Bouye and Q Demps and guys like that, they weren't expecting that they were going to face injuries, which every NFL team does. And by the time you go to try and find replacements, this is what you're left with.
Yep.
And that's a problem. Okay, so other news out of the world of sports in the Houston area, in case you missed it, Tillman Fertitta officially takes over as the new owner-in-chief of your Houston Rockets.
Yep.
So that is official, and Tillman has said it's been a dream of his and his entire family's to buy the team, and he is focused on keeping it in the family forever, as he puts it, which is a great sign for people in Houston that know it ain't going anywhere, and it's in very good hands.
That was the worry for me when all this went down is, I hope that this team doesn't get bought and moved by somebody out of town. So thank goodness that they're staying.
Yeah, no question about it, because I have friends, obviously, with the Bucks in Milwaukee, and one of the precursors when they were sold was you got to keep the team in Milwaukee, which is fine. The Brewers did the same thing because they're small market teams, and if they go, they may never come back. The bad thing is it doesn't preclude the ownership from coming in and clearing house in the front office and bringing in all their people from the East Coast anyways and doing things a lot differently. And the perfect example is not only in the front office, but the Bucks brought in Gus Johnson, but he's only doing a limited amount of TV games. So there's a disconnect from their longtime regular guy, Jim Paschke.
Yeah.
And then when Gus Johnson comes in, he's not a Milwaukee guy. And I think I've told you this before on the show. They have sponsors that pay a lot of money. And then Gus Johnson comes in and hacks up their name when he reads something on the air. And whoever's doing color has to go, no, it's not Usinger's. It's Usinger's sausage, Gus. Let me fix that for you.
Oh.
And at first he struggled with Adetokunbo, too.
Oh, yeah, well.
Yeah, don't be kicking the names around of your best players.
Yeah, if I get it, if you're just, but if that's your job, you kind of have to learn that, right?
That's part of the deal, man.
I would practice.
You have to.
Yeah, I mean, if you just mention it here and there, it's one thing, right? But if you're gonna be calling a game,
yeah. Craig and I used to do it all the time,
and he's not a bench player.
Craig and I used to do it all the time, and luckily in the game notes they give you pronunciation
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you how many times before we went on the air we would be like, "Is it da 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 or da da da?" And then you know we figured out, okay,
it happens
go
all
that.
The time. Look, I've mispronounced names because you guys hit your radar that you've never heard of or seen or whatever that have been kind of obscure
right.
in any sport. And then you usually, the old trick in the business is go to YouTube and find a video where someone else is saying their name. But then you got to hope that they're saying it right. So
right?
Better not find a Gus Johnson video where he says Antetokounmpo wrong.
Right. I mean, it's like, you know, I can't tell you, Craig and I would be like, is it Bogdanovich or Bogdanovich? Or yeah. Whatever. But you go through it because you know on the air there are people like on our text line. They're going to correct you and make a point of it. So it's a problem. So Tillman Fertitta, new owner of the Rockets. Rockets won last night at Madison Square Garden. Crazy enough, but because they are trying to condense the preseason to help get more rest during the regular season, they will be tipping it off for real in about 7 days.
That's insane.
Is it
to
not?
Me. Man, yes. That's nuts.
And the Knicks are continuing to be bad. The Rockets won by 20. They made over 23-pointers for every game now in the preseason as they continue to stay red hot from downtown. Harden had 30-plus points. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Curtis, you want to get in here right now? We've been holding a while, so before we go into anything else, you want to talk J.J. Watt. What's up?
Hey, guys. First of all, I just want to say A.J. and Fred got nothing on y'all show. You are by far the best show on 97.5 in Houston. Props to y'all. Appreciate
Curtis.
Y'all every day. Listen to you guys every day. So thank you so much for what y'all do.
Curtis,
appreciate that, man.
You have got to be the smartest person that's ever called this radio station.
I would agree. Yeah. And Barry and I don't agree a lot, but I would agree.
I love you so much, Curtis. I just want you to know
that. Yeah. Hey, I'm not going to lie. I was AJ and Fred all the way until y'all came on the air. And now I kind of forgot about them.
Oh, don't forget about them. Definitely don't forget about them. But
I'm
we appreciate
kidding.
The love.
I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to make y'all feel good right
well,
now.
You've succeeded, my friend. You've succeeded.
Yeah, even if you don't mean it, it worked.
No, but honestly, y'all are the best show on 97.5. But not to take y'all up too long, as much as I love y'all,
yeah.
I got to disagree on something about the Hall of Fame worthiness of J.J. And Calvin Johnson.
Okay.
And while I do agree and understand with the longevity that you guys are referring to as far as why they may not be the Hall of Fame caliber, I think you also have to take into consideration the fact that both of them did something that had never been done on their position ever in the NFL. For one, Calvin Johnson broke Jerry Rice, who is widely considered as the best receiver in NFL history, had his record broken by Calvin Johnson.
Which record?
And then J.J. Watt, as a defensive player, had 20 sacks, 20 batted passes, as well as 5 touchdowns in the same season, something no defensive player had ever done. Not to mention, he won 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards in 4 years, which is the only person that's done that since you-know-who, LT, and is also the only defensive player ever to win back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year awards. Now, while the longevity may not be there, J.J. Watt's career, we still, to this point, don't know where that's going to end up and be, and matter of fact. But to this point, I don't think you can deny that both of those players were the best, one of the best, at their positions in the history of the game. And I think that needs to be taken into account when you discuss Hall of Fame.
Well, okay,
and
Curtis, you make a hell of a point for J.J. Watt, but I think that it doesn't change my mind because he did those things in such a small time frame compared to some of the other guys at the position. I mean, if you look at how he was trending this year, he wasn't trending like any of those things you just said. Is he getting double teamed? Yeah. But he's not the same J.J. Watt. So you can't project that he would have put up those numbers for the next, 4, 5, 6 years if he played 10 to 12 years. His career was, it could have fallen off after these injuries, and it still might. So, like I said, you make a great point. But because what he did was in such a small window, yes, he was one of the best at his position for that window. Well, but I don't think you can say that necessarily that it was that you can't project it is what I'm saying. And
No, and I agree with that. I agree with that. And can I conversely make a different type of argument? The fact to go at it is
sure.
Let's cross the board for a second. Like a guy like Tracy McGrady, who just made the Hall of Fame. I mean, really, as a player, statistically, individually, never accomplished anything. Team-wise, never accomplished anything, but still made the Hall of Fame. Now, if a guy like that deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, granted, different sports, and I understand that. I don't think he amounted or accomplished even a single thing as great as what J.J. Watt has done in the NFL. So, I mean, from my perspective, if a guy like Tracy McGrady deserves to be, as much as I love Houston sports, and I'm not saying anything negative about him, but if he deserves to be in the NBA Basketball Hall of Fame, I see no reason why J.J. Watt doesn't deserve to be in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Curtis, I understand the argument. Again, like Barry said, you make great points. One, on the football side of things, before we try and cross over, because I think there's no comparisons. We've been on this show over and over again talking about it until we know the criteria for how you get into a Hall of Fame and receive such honors. It's never going to be clear-cut. But McGrady won scoring titles, right? I'm totally with you on that. I didn't think he should be Hall of Fame, so I'll get that out of the way right now. But in terms of football, just because you put together that small body of work doesn't mean you're not one of the best of a decade. You can get a lot of best of the decade type performances. When we talk about the Hall of Fame and Hall of Fame career, you're talking about career numbers. When you talk about career numbers, they're talking about longevity, and those numbers add up over years. That's why when Barry talks about sacks, he's not in the top 10. He's not in the 15. The stats you mentioned are well and good too. He doesn't have the all-time single season sack record. He doesn't have some of the things that stand out. I'm not sure which award you were talking about with Jerry Rice, but the fact of the matter is, the greatest of all time is a guy that's being referred to because of he's number one all-time in receptions. He's number one all-time in yards. He's number one all-time in pretty much almost every statistical category. That's why he's referred to as the greatest. So that would be my rebuttal on those two.
Yeah, I know we got to go to break. We'll come back on and discuss it some more, because actually a buddy of mine, Radu, made a great point on text as well. We'll bring that up.
There you go.
We'll keep it going.
All right, welcome to Tyler's Lounge as he continues to jam through the songs of Love Time at the Tyler Lounge. We've got two in the books, one to go. Plenty more of the big show. Don't go anywhere. More of the Usual Suspects in just minutes. 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.